Comically, an exploration of your favorite comic book characters, people, and events. Episode 7, Who Are the Omega Men? A few months back, I decided to dive back into the DC Universe, thanks in part to some of their newly launched properties, as well as through the advice and recommendations of several friends. Now let me preface by saying that I've always loved the DC Universe, even through the ups and downs the industry and my comic book collecting have endured over the past couple of decades. I have still managed to read some of their properties, particularly in the Batman family, as regular listeners may be aware. The recent DCU initiative sounded interesting to me, and while I am now regularly reading about a dozen DC books, the one that has really stood out to me has been The Omega Men, written by Tom King, with art by Barnaby Bagenda, and some really creative yet haunting covers by Trevor Hutchinson. It was recently announced that DC would be cutting Omega Men from its lineup with issue 7 coming in December, so I thought it'd be as good a time as any to find out who the Omega Men are and why, even though the book is being canceled, you should not only pick up the current series, but also previous appearances from these extraterrestrial superheroes. I knew little about these characters before picking up the book, so in part, this episode was a way to scratch my own itch. Let's start from the beginning. The Omega Men made their first appearance in the DC Universe in June of 1981's Green Lantern 141, and were created by Marv Wolfman and Joe Staton. Wolfman and Staton both had great careers in comics, and either together or with other creators, imagined some iconic characters who have waxed and waned in popularity themselves over the years, including the Vampire Hunter Blade, Daredevil villain Bullseye, Spider-Man off-again, on-again partner Black Cat, and many, many more. The Omega Men are an alien group hailing from the Vegan system, a system of planets ruled by the Citadel Empire, a tyrannical and oppressive regime which has ruled the system for thousands of years. The story of the Citadelians themselves is pretty interesting, as they are all clones of the first Citadelian, and slowly took control over the entire system, beginning with the planet Okara. This expansion was due in large part to the hands-off attitude of the Guardians of the Universe, the group responsible for creating the Green Lantern Corps. The Guardians had made a treaty with Agent Orange, the sole bearer of the Orange Lantern Ring, which kept them from policing the Vega system, and leading to the creation of the Citadelian Empire. As a result, it almost certainly led to the creation of the Omega Men themselves, freedom fighters who were the only ones with the moxie to stand up against the Citadelians, regardless of the consequences. Consequences which, of course, has led to the death of many of the group's rosters through its various iterations. The Omega Men, with Tiger as their leader, did manage to at least partially destroy the Empire, which led to a new regime taking over the Vega system. This new regime was no less ruthless in actuality, but did enter an agreement with the Omega Men in which any world that willingly became part of the new Citadel Empire would be left alone from Omega Men involvement. So who are the Omega Men? Well, we have Primus, a telepath and telekinetic from the planet Euphorix, often serving as the leader of the group through many iterations. Tigor, a fearless warrior who looks a bit like a giant feline, hence the name. He's the last of his kind. Doc, a bioorganic doctor. Scraps, created by Tom King and Barnaby Bagenda for the current incarnation of the team. Brute, not to be confused with the Guardians of the Galaxy character, Groot. Brute is a member of a race of powerful beings from the planet Shangri-Lin, who live in peace as per their religion. Cutlass, and finally Callista, princess of the planet Euphorix and wife of Omega Men leader Primus. After a successful introduction in the pages of Green Lantern, the Omega Men would make appearances in the pages of both Action Comics and the New Teen Titans before getting their first solo title, which ran from 1983 to 1986, and itself was tackled by a superstar team of writers, artists, and other creators, such as Roger Slifer, Keith Giffen, Doug Mensch, Todd Klein, Sean McManus, Mike DiCarlo, Jim McDermott, and many, many more. It was in the pages of these series that comic book readers would be introduced to the mercenary Lobo, who would grow in popularity himself through the late 80s and early 90s, and whose current ongoing title is, perhaps purely by coincidence, being canceled alongside Omega Men. No tears from me. Omega Men is definitely a far superior title in both concept and execution. From this first series, the Omega Men would go on to make an appearance in 2004's Adam Strange miniseries, 2005's Infinite Crisis, and then return with a second, short-lived series, 2006's six-issue limited series, Omega Men Volume 2, starring Tigor, Doc, Ilu, Brute, and Rounder. When DC relaunched their entire line with the New 52 in 2011, DC opted for a somewhat different direction. In this reimagining of the characters, a young group known as the Omegas, comprised of Primus, Callista, and Tigor, are guided by Zealot. Yes, comic book readers, Zealot. The same Zealot from the Wildstorm universe and the Wildcats title. They gather together to seek revenge against Lobo, who has enslaved their parents. This reimagining didn't last long, of course, and led to the recently relaunched Omega Men series, which star Primus, Tigor, Brute, Doc, Scraps, Cutlass, Callista, and Kyle Rayner. Yes, the same Kyle Rayner who previously donned the ring of the Green Lantern. So yes, the Omega Men stories read a little bit like a cross between Star Wars and Golden Age superhero stories, but they really are much more than that, and it's really too bad that the current incarnation of the series is getting pushed to a close prematurely of the 12 promised issues. It would certainly have been interesting to see how King shaped the story of the Omega Men around the fake execution of the Lantern Kyle Rayner, and how this would have affected the direction of other titles in the universe moving forward. But it may be something we never see unless told in a flagship title like, say, Green Lantern itself. Though it seems that Robert Venditti and Van Jensen are a little busy telling a completely different story in that title. The Omega Men themselves are not typical superheroes, but rather freedom fighters with an undying dedication to their cause. I find it surprising that with the popularity of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Star Wars, that Omega Men didn't do better than it did. Now sure, many comic book creators would kill to have their books sell over 18,000 copies per month, but apparently it's just not enough for DC to keep the story. Maybe part of the problem is the ambitiousness of the series in a world where so many comic book readers fail to give a new title a chance beyond the first issue. But that should certainly be no reason to cancel titles with great writing and beautiful art, just simply because they're not part of the norm. The comic book industry is in a strange place now, with many publishers throwing anything they can at a wall of readers in the hopes that something will stick. I hope in the future publishers begin to focus more on quality over quantity, even if it means diminishing numbers of the books they elect to publish before it is too late for the industry as a whole and there's nothing to publish at all. So who are the Omega Men? They're a symbol of what could be, but unfortunately may never become a reality. Comically is hosted by Martin Ferretti. It is a production of the Nerdy Legion Network. Get in touch with us by visiting the website, nerdylegion.com, and email us topic suggestions at comicallyshow@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @geekvine, and let me know what you think.